Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with Philadelphia Orchestra bassoonist Holly Blake, who is also the orchestra's contrabassoonist. She brought the contrabassoon to the interview when we first talked about the instrument itself.
The contrabassoon is very closely related to the bassoon. It's actually twice the length of a bassoon. So instead of one fold over, which the bassoon has at the bottom, to total something about 7 and 7.5 feet long, the contrabassoon is actually double that size. In fact, sometimes it's called the double bassoon. And the bassoon has a curve around at the bottom and a curve around at the top so that it minimizes the unwieldy size of the contrabassoon were it a straight tube.
Is it heavy? It looks as if it could be heavy.
It's probably about 12 to 15 pounds. I never actually weighed it.
And what is the range?
The range is from low B flat, which is the low B flat on the piano. The lowest note is down here. A 3-octave range, approximately.
So how did you come to play contrabassoon?
Well, every bassoon student has to learn the contrabassoon, at least in almost every situation. Beginning students in the college or conservatory are the students that are called upon to play the contrabassoon parts. And so when I first started at Temple, I was immediately in the orchestra and assigned the contrabassoon parts and given a lesson by one of my friends and sort of got thrown right into the fire. The first piece I played was Mahler's Second on contrabassoon. Because it's so closely related to the bassoon, the changeover is relatively easy. Some of the fingerings, especially in the third octave, are quite different, so it takes a little bit more time to actually get accustomed to it. But it's really playing it in the context that is the best way to learn it.
Is it hard to play both bassoon and contrabassoon in the same concert?
No, it's not. The switchover becomes very automatic. I'm very comfortable with both instruments. In fact, there are many pieces that call on me to switch within the piece. So for instance, Mahler symphonies, I frequently will play third bassoon doubling contra or fourth bassoon doubling contra. And sometimes in Stravinsky as well, and some other pieces. So it's not unusual for me to have both instruments right there in front of me. I generally have the contrabassoon on my left side and the bassoon on my right side and a stand for each one. I put one down, pick the other up, and sometimes quite quickly I have to make a change from instrument to instrument. So it's just a matter of being accustomed to it.
Wow, and you have to be careful though, because there are a lot of keys that if they get askew.
True, and very easy to knock the contrabassoon out of alignment because of the very long rods that connect the keys to the tone holes. And so particularly with the contrabassoon, it's easy for one of these to get knocked or bent and a pad to get offset. So I do have to be very careful about that.
So you find it fun to play the contrabassoon?
I do. I have a lot of fun playing the contrabassoon. I like playing the supporting role. I like the fact that the woodwind section can really sort of build on my foundation harmonically. And I love sort of setting that foundation and blending with the rest of the orchestra. I play a lot with the bass section as well, the string bass. And I frequently will look at Hal Robinson, our principal bass player, and have actually a really nice connection, an interaction with him, because I'm sort of playing the same part as he's playing, sometimes even more than I'm playing with the bassoon section, depending on the part. For instance, Beethoven wrote for contrabassoon in the Fifth Symphony and in the Ninth Symphony, and the part pretty much doubles the exact same as the bass line in when it does play. And also frequently in Brahms or in Mahler, the more exposed or solo parts that I'm playing are along with the bass section.
Can you illustrate any of the other licks that composers have used the contrabassoon for in different pieces?
Yeah, actually the French composers featured the contrabassoon, I think, more than anyone else as a solo instrument.
I wonder why.
Well, I'm not exactly sure, except that maybe because they began to write so programmatically and paint pictures with the imagery of their music, I think that they found a new color in the voice of the contrabassoon. So Ravel writes several pieces where he utilizes the contrabassoon. One is the Mother Goose suite, which in the movement of the Beauty and the Beast, the clarinet is the beauty and the contrabassoon is the beast. But it's actually a very lovely melodic line, and it goes like this. To play a nice duet with the clarinet with those same sort of motifs, which is very lovely, actually.
It's beautiful and it's kind of soothing.
Yes, I think the low vibrations sort of are warm and round. And another big solo by Ravel is in the left-hand piano concerto. And it starts with the basses just in a very, very soft tremolo. And the contrabassoon comes in just almost out of the depths. And I always think of it as almost the beginning of life, you know, the sort of the birth of all of creation, just the coming out of the depths. And it's not, in that way, not sinister at all. It's more affirming and birth and life and everything.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really wonderful. So is there anything you think people who are not musicians would be surprised about the contrabassoon?
I think they're just surprised by the sound of the instrument, you know, not knowing exactly what to expect. You know, it's down in the range with the tuba and the bass, yet it has a characteristic sound that's sort of all of its own. I think, you know, a little reedier sound, but still warm and I think mostly people are just not familiar with it. You know, so often people will say, "What is that?" And then, you know, I give the full description. So,
thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Holly Blake.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.